Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to PGN, Prophetic Grace Network, where we do it more than we talk about it. Today is April 29th, Saturday, 2023. Welcome, everybody. Welcome. I hope you've had a great week, and thank you for coming back. Let me get started. I have my topic today for today's show is inheritance. This week has been a heavy-duty week, and as you well know, let me start with the latest news. There is a conference going on in Boston called the SatanCon, and it's people that basically have a religion where they say that they're not into Satanism or anything like that. They're more like activists, and usually what they're coming against is usually the things that Christians are for. They're still dangerous. They say they don't worship Satan and they don't do seances and weird stuff like that. But their way of thinking is still dangerous. And so we need to pray. They're not like the actual Satanism. They're not based on that. It's different. It's a different type of group, but it's still nonetheless dangerous. And so we need everybody to be praying right now for that and keep them in prayer. They started yesterday and tonight and tomorrow night they're having another of their conferences. They have had issues before in the state of Arkansas. The capital, Little Rock, they had that city in the capital. They had a place, the Ten Commandments, and they were coming against that. They didn't like that. They said that if they were allowed to, that they were also allowed to put their beliefs in what they had, and that was the Baphomet. I'm sure I'm not saying it that correct, but it's the symbol of Satan. And so they instigated things and people got angry. Those that were on their side actually destroyed the Ten Commandments and they were going to put it up. And actually they put their own statue. They were going to put it or they either put it and it got taken out, but they were out. They were out of place in what they were doing. As you all well know, that Texas has also allowed the Ten Commandments back in. And so that's a victory for the Lord. I want to go through some things to explain that times are changing. The times are changing and it's not the same. And it's happening quickly. And the things that you can see quickly are the ones that I'm going to mention. Lots of things with satanical worship. In 2016 or something like that, the people from Brazil did a carnival, and in their carnival, they went all out. It was just a huge thing. They had the statues of Satan, they had snakes, they had everything that was symbolic of demonic forces. They were releasing spirits really in that carnival. You know that those carnivals aren't the greatest. It has been said that they had floods in their country too. I'm not sure if that happened before or after these carnivals, but you open up to be mocking God, and God will show you who he is. Another thing, in England, they had the Commonwealth Games some years back where it was Prince Charles that was the prince at the time, and they came out with a bull, and it was a it looked really demonic. What they were expressing, it wasn't art. It was, they were letting us know that they were being bold about what they were believing. We have to understand the times are changing. Also, in the Grammys, there was some people acting very different. Beyonce's husband was one of them, placing a table almost like in the mocking of the Last Supper, calling himself a name similar to Yahweh. And there was also pastors that are Christian artists that won awards and that participated in these Grammys and had placed some behavior that they did after the Grammys, where they were celebrating, and they did a wrong thing by posting it. So they had a lot of backlash. I, for one, I have played some of their music, and I repent of using that now. I didn't know their music was really good, but sometimes people make poor choices, and we have to pray for our Christian artists, because they're not knowing the difference between the world and living for God, and especially their pastors too. They're not understanding that you can't go there. So we're seeing this in a lot of Christian artists where they're professing different things that they didn't at one time. Artists are all over. I could go off and mention all of them, but I won't. But we have to be real careful now what we listen to, because if they are allowing themselves to be under that kind of influence, their influence is going to come out in their music too. So we really do need to be praying. This week, Prophet Randy talked about something about heritage, and I was like hoping he didn't go into it, because God had given me this message about heritage, inheritance. And he gave me this message on Tuesday. And so as I was studying the book of Psalms, and something that stuck out, and then later on I realized, oh, wow, God foresaw that a lot of the things that we would encounter this week had something to do with a little bit of everything. So Psalms 135 and 136, really 136 really kind of repeats a lot of some of the things in 135, but here goes. Praise the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise him, O you servants of the Lord, you who stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of God, our God. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises to his name, for it is pleasant. For the Lord has chosen Jacob for himself, Israel for his special treasure. Just like he thought that they were his treasure, God thinks that we are his treasure. This is in the Old Testament. But now that we're in after the death of Jesus, and we are in the family of God, we are his treasures. For I know that the Lord is great, and our Lord is above all gods. God is above all gods. Whatever the Lord pleases, he does, in heaven and in earth, in the seas and in all deep places. In the seas and all deep places. I'll touch a little bit on the marine spirit on that one. But here you see, in the seas and in all deep places. Whatever the Lord pleases, he does, in heaven and in earth, in the seas and in all deep places. So God has dominion over all this. He causes the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He makes lightning for the rain. He brings the wind out of his treasury. He destroys the firstborn of Egypt, both of man and beast. Okay, so it was God that destroyed the firstborn of Egypt. He sent signs and wonders into the midst of you, O Egypt, upon Pharaoh and all his servants. He defeated many nations and slew mighty kings. Sihon, king of the Amorites, Og, king of Bashan, and all the kingdoms of Canaan, and gave their land as a heritage to Israel, his people. That was in the time of Joshua. God used Joshua to take in the promised land. He went in and he destroyed, was used to do war against these kings. So here we see that God is telling them and gave their land as a heritage to Israel, his people. Your name, O Lord, endures forever. Your fame, O Lord, throughout all generations. For the Lord will judge his people and he will give compassion on his servants. The idols of the nations are silver and gold. Do you see that? Silver and gold, that's money. That's the nation's idol. We cannot idolize money. God is our provider. The work of men's hands, they have mouths, but they do not speak. Eyes, they have, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear, nor is there any breath in their mouths. Those who make them are like them. So is everyone who trusts in them. God doesn't want our trust to be in these things. He wants us to trust him. Bless the Lord, O house of Israel. Bless the Lord, O house of Aaron. Bless the Lord, O house of Levi. You who fear the Lord, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord out of Zion who dwell in Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. So you who fear the Lord, bless the Lord. Bless him. Don't have idols. Don't allow yourselves to be fooled in these things. And then 136, I'll skip the where it says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercies endures forever. And it repeats that. But what I want you to get is the main point where it talks about, it says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, the God of gods. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, to him who alone does great wonders, to him who by wisdom made the heavens, who laid out the earth above the waters. The waters, see, God is showing us that he's got dominion over all the earth, not just the earth, but even the waters, the oceans, because there's things in the oceans and there's even spirits in there too. To him who made great light, to sun to rule by day, the moon and stars to rule by night, even the sun and the moon, the whole universe the Lord has control of. He rules it. God, to him who struck Egypt in their firstborn, brought out Israel from among them with a strong hand and with an outstretched arm. To him who divided the Red Sea in two. He was talking to me about this. So he was showing me, why are you taking me back to this Egypt? And verse 14, and made Israel pass through the midst of it. And then we'll skip the, for his mercies endure forever. But overthrow Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea. To him who led his people through the wilderness, 17. To him who struck down great kings, 18. And slew famous kings. And it repeats here. Sihon, king of the Amorites, and 20. And Og, king of Bashan, and gave their land as a heritage to Israel, his servants, who remembered us in our lowly state, 24, and rescued us from our enemies, who gave food to all flesh. So you see, God is saying he's the one that's going to defeat our enemies here. There is a heritage. But that heritage has to be taken. And so here is what I'm going to be talking about. I kept seeing that word heritage. So God said he gave their land as a heritage. In Joshua 12, and on, you read how God gave the Israelites power over their enemy. And as a result, he gave them land, right? Have you read the part where it says that he's extending their tent pegs? There's one part of the Bible that talks about that. In other words, God is giving you more. He's expanding you. So here he's giving them a heritage. He said he remembered them in their low state, and he was going to help them, and he defeated the enemy. He did it before, and he was going to do it again. So let's see. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help. So when it says happy, it's blessed. We're blessed when we have God as our help. When we call on God, it must be in truth. If we want God's help, it has to be in truth. You just don't call on God and then keep on living your own way. John 4:24 says, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. So there is a scripture here, 2 Corinthians 3. Let me read that. Let me look for it. Give me one moment here, because I really, well, you can read that one on your own. But I was looking at the word heritage. And the definition of heritage means property that descends to an heir, something transmitted by or acquired from a predecessor, something possessed as a result of one's natural situation or birth. As children of God, we have an inheritance. An inheritance can only be taken when the person that's leaving the inheritance dies, right? In this case, Jesus died on the cross for us. And so our inheritance comes because of what he did on the cross for us. We are children of God when we receive him. If you have an inheritance, you are that heir. You have an inheritance. It belongs to you. But you have to take it for it to be yours. If you have to do something to obtain it, even though it's yours, right, you have to do something. If not, it's yours, but you'll never obtain it. You'll never receive it if you don't say, okay, here I am. I am the inheritor. I'm going to do something to obtain that inheritance. How many people haven't had parents that have died? They may leave an inheritance, and what do? They have to file paperwork. They have to go through a process to let them know, this is me, this is my social, this is I am who they say I am. I am an inheritor here. And so they match it up, and then you get your stuff. God says he is giving you an inheritance. He's giving you land, but you have to take it. How do you do that? You move in. How do you move in? But guess what? There's in some cases, when you move into what's yours, there may be a squatter. We're hearing a lot about people having issues with people that are squatting into their land. And then they're saying, oh, no, this land is mine. This house is mine because I've lived in here this long. There was this one man somewhere, I saw it on YouTube, where he had issues with squatters. These people had set up home in his house, his mother's house, and he didn't know what to do, and the police really weren't going to help. So he set up a strategy, and he got them out. He put the fear of God. He says, if you don't get out, we're going to get your stuff out of here. And he got the neighbors to help him, but they came in when they saw that their stuff was being moved out. Then they took action, and before they lost their stuff, because he was going to give it all to the neighbors that were helping him to remove everything that was in there. So sometimes you're going to find yourself in situations like that where there's people that are squatters. They're going to take what's yours. They want to take what's yours. But you have to allow God to give you the strategies to get them out. I'm talking plain tonight. So they're squatters. Now, what do? You got to fight, right? How do you fight? We don't fight the way the world fights. We fight in prayer. Then God will avenge us. He'll take vengeance for us on behalf of us. He avenges the wrong done to us and will punish the wrongdoer. God told Joshua to move into the land he had given him. They had to fight. Are you going to fight in prayer, or are you going to wait for God to do it all for you? Because if that's the case, it ain't going to happen. Sometimes you have to hear what God is trying to tell you. He's going to give you the strategies. But if you're not listening and you're not wanting to fight in prayer, then the squatters are going to take it. Then you can have then if you do what God tells you to do, then you can have your land, and that's your inheritance. God is your inheritance, your portion, your source of security and hope. It's not the things in the world, okay? Well, the same thing goes spiritually. Things go unclaimed. Have you ever heard of letters that get sent to people and say, you know, there's some unclaimed money that you have that you need to claim it, that we're letting you know that, you know, so are you not going to go and check it out and see if there is some money? Sometimes there's money in the government, and because nobody claims it, they keep it. So are we going to do that? Are we going to let the enemy do that for us? God has already told us that we have an inheritance. It's ours. Now, are we going to claim this stuff? So in Deuteronomy 1:2 shows how the Israelites took 40 years to make an 11-day journey into the promised land. Are you going to take that long? Are we going to take that long? I don't want to. I want to take what's mine now. I'm going to pray. I'm going to listen to the voice of God and hear his strategies. There may be things keeping you in the wilderness, things like your character flaws, unbelief, and so many other things. How do we get our inheritance? First, believe God and who he says he is. Then your circumstances, your heart, the Israelites, what they did was they circumcised their heart. They circumcised themselves, not their hearts, their flesh. But we are in the New Testament. And we don't circumcise. We circumcise our hearts. We have to devote ourselves to God anew. Okay? So today, we don't circumcise the flesh, but the heart. Okay? That we're committing to God. The enemy will truly see this if it's real. When the Israelites circumcised themselves, right, something happened. When the enemy sees that it's real, something happens and it's really crazy. All of a sudden, the manna that they were used to stopped coming. And what happened? They took the land and they got their land and they ate the fruit of the land. Do you see? So if you're true, well, there might seem to be like nothing's happening. Like nothing's happening, but God is faithful and you do your part. God is going to do his part. When he tells you to do something and you do it, you're going to see the results. You're going to see your inheritance. Did they make a mistake? Of course they did. I'm sure that when they went into the promised land, it probably didn't happen right away, but they had to deal with the opposition, warfare. They claimed their territory in war, but they made mistakes. They did make mistakes, but that's part of it. They had to learn how to fight. And things that they had to do and the things that they couldn't do if they were to have victory. For instance, they messed up with sin. Sin was one of the mistakes they made. Messed them, and they brought an accursed thing in that caused them to lose. But when they learned that, oh, wait a minute, sin equals not getting the promised land, okay, well, then we can't sin. We have to even remove the people that are sinning because it's going to affect all of us. So Joshua, in Joshua 7, another mistake they made was being deceived by the enemy, making agreements with the enemy instead of destroying the enemy. God gave them instructions and they didn't listen. So what happened? That was another mistake. That was another setback. They learned some lessons as they got better in the fight. They got stronger and stronger and defeated the enemy and took the land in full. They eventually took it all in full. Even Caleb, remember Caleb? It was Caleb and Joshua at the beginning of that fight where Moses told them, go in the land. But let me take you into this. If you don't fight, you can't win, right? Yes, you will make mistakes, but if you don't give up, you'll learn how to sharpen your strategy, the strategies God gives you. And you'll learn the strategies against the enemy. We do not war like they did in Joshua's days. No. Yesterday, there was a lady that we were talking about this, you know, that people were upset with this SatanCon. And one lady says, well, what are we going to do about it? And she was quoting scriptures that had nothing to do about how to go into prayer or go into what strategies that God was giving. And she was talking about something else. And so we had to make it clear to her that the word of God says in Ephesians 6, 17, 18, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Then it goes on to, before that, it goes into Ephesians 6, 12, it says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Okay. So it's not against flesh and blood that we come after. God doesn't want – our strategy now is not the same as when Joshua did. There are some moments where you have to get the enemy out by force. I remember this African pastor, and we had witches in the city where we lived, and this one man was coming in and putting candles, and we don't know what he was doing, but he had jumped in over the fence, and – the pastor got upset because there were women and, you know, children. I was there. My baby was there, and his wife was there. He took the man by the seat of his pants and flung him out. So in that case, yeah, you have to get the enemy out that way. But for the most part, our warfare is different. We don't slay people with the sword. That can also be with the mouth, with the tongue. No. We don't slay people with the tongue. We are to slay the enemy by slaying the demonic thoughts and imaginations with the word of God in prayer. Sometimes, you know, people can get other people's goat and they'll win and they'll prove that you were wrong because of the way that you behave. I was talking to someone today, and they were telling me how these people, SatanCon, they call themselves Satanists. They're not the other people. They're the other ones that do the actual worship, the demonic worship and the sacrifices. These are different, and they say that they're activists, but they're just as dangerous. They're just as dangerous. But he says these people, what they do is try to. Everything that Christians believe in, they try to go against. So we have to be careful with that. We have to slay demonic thoughts and imaginations with the word of God in prayer. It's not one-on-one with our tongues. when we join God in our battles, whether our battles are mental or physical ones, God then gives us power to overcome and defeat those things holding us back from our inheritance. You have to see things differently when problems come. It's an invitation from God for you to do battle because he wants to bless you. So we're seeing things in the wrong way. When you see that you are having issues and the enemy is getting in the way, that's an opportunity for you. You're going to get blessed. But are you going to fight? Are you going to pray? Are you going to pray? Or are you going to just let, oh, God will do it. God will do it. He wants to show you your inheritance, show you how to fight to get it. You may fail, just like the Israelites did. They made mistakes. You may fail. But once you get started and you really want to, you know, pursue God and do sanctify yourself, allow God to sanctify you, and you circumcise your heart, things are going to get rolling, but it's not going to be perfect. But it's going to get better and better. Your problems are part of God's plan, believe it or not. The plan is to teach you how to fight, to defeat the enemy that's coming against his kingdom. It's not only to give you land and to expand you, but it's to expand God's kingdom. If you're only thinking that God is just going to bless you and that's it, no. If God has a kingdom purposes for this. That's why many people don't have anything, because they're going to spend it on themselves. God wants you strong in his strength so you can go out there and do great things in his name and be blessed with the victory he gives you. Okay? He's going to bless you. It's time to fight. Let's look at where the enemy may be taking your land. He may be taking your land in your home, in your marriage, in your finances, in your family, with your friends' relationships, with jobs, with your health, and on it goes. It could go on and on. This list can be long. That's how the enemy can take your land. It's time to listen to God's strategies in prayer. Some strategies can be, one, not giving up. Two, cutting the enemy by the roots. We've heard that from Prophet Randy. We have to cut the issue from the root. We can't deal with it from the top. Because if you do, you're going to continue dealing with the same thing. Three, help from other believers. That's part of the strategies. When we are with other believers, we have victory. In the midst of many advisors, I mean godly advisors, you'll have victory. Okay? Some will get their victory. Some will not. But why? What are they doing wrong to get their victory? They couldn't see it. Again, they couldn't see it. If you don't believe God, you're not going to see it. You want to see it? Then you're going to have to get into the Word so you can see, so you can begin seeing what God has for you, seeing your inheritance, okay? Seeing why he wants to give you this. What is the purpose of this all? When you begin to see the land God has intended for you, then you can begin to see what he has for you to do or to be. Okay, so to do or to be. Moses told the 12 spies, remember, to go out into the promised land so they could assess the land. God was saying that was theirs. That was their land. But only two of them were able to see. The other 10 couldn't see it. Do you see? Yeah, you have to read that story. You know, they were saying, oh, there's giant in the land. And, you know, we're just as grasshoppers. We're little in their sight. It's too big. It's too hard. Well, there's going to be giants in the land. There's going to be giants in the land. But you have to see it, what God says, how to see it. So, okay, you have to go see it. You have to go spend time in the Word of God so you can see what your inheritance is, so you can see what he has for you to do in the kingdom, to be in the kingdom. Look at your inheritance. How are you going to use it? One. Two, how are you going to be fruitful in it? Okay? What it is it God wants you to step into to advance his kingdom? Yeah, he's going to bless you, but it's for his kingdom too. What has God already blessed you with and began moving in those, and then what has he already blessed you, and what are you moving in already in those areas? Are you moving in it? Are you being fruitful in those areas, in the areas that he's moved you in? Okay. So live a life dedicated, sanctified in God. Fight and don't give up. You have to see it. Ask God to show you what those things are that you inherit, right? And so maybe it's a desire to preach. Maybe it's a husband that is your desire, a wife, money. You are desiring, to have buildings, to have a family. Okay. God wants to give you a vision for it. He wants to give you that inheritance so you can spend it, not to spend it on yourself. He has a plan with it to bless you so you can bless his kingdom and others. God is blessing you to be a blessing. God is blessing you to be a blessing. Okay? Always remember that. All this must be done in prayer. And that's where you're going to hear God's strategy. So, Lord, let's say a prayer. Lord, give us whole hearts for you. Help us and strengthen us. Help us to fight for our inheritance, our land, with your directions, with your strategy. Help us to see your vision for our lives, for what it is that you want to give us for your kingdom's sake, so that we can bless your kingdom and others. Help us to possess the land. And we thank you for this land, Lord. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. I want to touch on a little subject just a little bit, because I think that we really need to pay attention to what's going on with movies, with music. Everything out there is like being tainted very much, and it's happening fast. We have to understand that we have the enemy is trying to stop us here on the earth, but also, in the waters. There's certain things in the waters that we have to understand, and I can't say that I totally understand it all. I don't. But we have to really start studying the word so we can understand what these things are coming on the earth, so we can have a better understanding, and so we know our position and what we have to do. So I'll just leave it there. I'll talk about that, and but please be very aware. If those that have grandchildren and younger teenagers, please be careful what they watch. Believe it or not, the strategies of Hollywood is releasing spirits on these kids, and a lot of them are being disobedient through what they watch. They cuss at their parents. They disobey their parents. They do a lot of things in these movies that if they were my kids, they would get a good spanking. But we need to pray. We really do need to. God was showing me about prayer. This is the strategy. And the reason why he wants to show you about all this is because we're going to need to up it up in prayer. We need to really get serious about praying. I understand that there's some things that no matter how much we pray, it's prophesied that it's going to be. But just because there's some things that are going to be prophesied doesn't mean that we become lazy in our prayer time, in our warfare time. we have to really hear the Lord. There's going to be some things that, no, we can't touch that. But this is all going to be led by the Holy Spirit and should be being led by the Holy Spirit. I mean, hey, I was talking to somebody about, they said, well, you're going to die, you're going to die. No, sometimes God will give you a knowing that you can't go through this road or do this or do that. But if you're not listening to God and you're not spending time with God, you're not going to have that discernment to know what you need to do next. And you can fall for the enemy's plan. So these days are getting dark, and we really have to be wise in our walk with the Lord so we know how to walk in this world and help others to come to Christ. There's a lot of people with a lot of crazy ideas about God and what God thinks. They're high-minded. They think that their thoughts are way higher than God and that what they think is right. And we have to get God's wisdom on how to help these people, but it has to first come through prayer. So enough of that. I had some more stuff, but I won't. I don't feel like I think I need to have that message a little bit more better explained because I'll lose you if I do. It's heavy duty. But be real careful. Please be prayed up and start praying over your home. Just like you do spring cleaning, it's time to clean up and ask the Lord what things don't belong in your house. That may be a point of contact for the enemy to have his way in your home. I hear people talking that they hear creaking at night, that they hear like people walking in their homes. They're afraid. Some neighbors talking like that. And, you know, I live by myself and I sleep like a baby. I'm not afraid because I know I have God and I know I have angels stationed around me protecting me. But when you don't truly have God, the enemy starts messing with your mind. So enough of that. We're going to take some calls tonight. If you need prayer, we'll pray for you tonight. Or if you want to say something or give a testimony, you're more than welcome. I had something else I needed to say. No, that's about it. All right. So if you want prayer tonight, please make sure to dial 1 to get yourself on the queue, in the queue. Give me one moment here, and I will be with you in just a minute. You just have to place the calls in the order. I don't want to miss out on who and make sure that I'm seeing all the numbers because I'm working from my phone, and I don't have a computer and won't have one for some time. Let me, because I have to turn the phone to see all the calls, because sometimes I have more than the calls that I see here, and I don't want to miss anybody. Okay, let's get started. 402-214, your name and where you're from.
Hi, Carmen. It's Sharon in New York. Thanks, hon.
Okay, let me put you on mute. Thank you, Lord, for sharing, Father God, from New York. Thank you, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You know, what I'm seeing is that even though you don't know and sense the presence of these beings, there are angels around you protecting you, whether you know it or not. And it's almost like, you ever seen these sci-fi movies where, like Star Trek, where they have like the special protection, like the invisible barrier that the enemy couldn't get to them, sort of like that. And so you may not know it, but there is protection. You have a protection. It's the protection is from God. And so no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Just know, understand that. That's your inheritance. No weapon formed. Let's look at that scripture. Give me one moment. I want to look at that scripture real quick. Because Excuse me. Let's see. Okay. All right. It says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. There goes that word again. Heritage. Heritage. That's your heritage. That belongs to you. God says, no weapon's going to be formed against you that prosper. You will condemn it. You got to open your mouth and you stand in prayer and you say, Lord, I thank you because no weapon formed against me will prosper. No weapon's going to prosper against me because you said that that's my heritage. So I thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus for this protection, that the weapons that that are formed against her, they will not prosper. And we thank you for that in the name of Jesus. Thank you for that special covering that you have over her. And we praise you. We give you glory. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Miss Sharon, are you there?
Yes, honey, I'm here. Thank you. I appreciate
that. How are you?
Oh, I'm okay. You're talking about heritage really hit.
Mm-hmm.
Get home, you know, because all of my, everything I had, everything I was given, you know, inherited from my family, everything has been stolen. So it's hard.
But you see,
you know,
what I'm saying, where I talked about why some of this stuff, you know, we have to remove the squatters in prayer, not against flesh and blood.
Yeah.
It's in prayer. That's what we have to do. And make sure that we're prayed up and we're asking God, how do I pray? What do I say? What do I do? Well, and then once you get your land, that's not just for you. It's to bless God's kingdom and, you know, to be a blessing. But there's a reason for everything that God gives us. But if we're going to spend it on ourselves, then sometimes we don't get it. And if we're not praying, sometimes we don't get it. So you need to pray and say, God, you know. And you know what? God redeems. You know, he redeems the things that we have lost, the things that the enemy has stolen from us. So in prayer, you'll be amazed as you start fighting. It's not lost. I mean, God has other ways of blessing you, and it may be even greater. You never know. Let me tell you, this past week, I was saying, God, you got to help me because I don't have a dime. I need to get a job. I got a pain in my back and in my hands. I had to stop working. So I'm looking for work. I'm not 100% feeling, you know, pain-free, but I need to work. And so I said, Lord, you need to help me. You're my husband. You need to help me with what I'm going through. Do you know, in the same day, so many things happened, at least five things happened, and I got some money that I didn't expect. One of them was it wasn't a lot of money, but it's enough to keep me afloat. One of it was somebody had sued for something that happened in the type of car that I have, and they won. And because they won, it won for everybody that had that same type of car. So I got a little check that came in the mail. I didn't expect that. But God showed me all these things all in the same day. There were at least five things that happened. And then I won't go into the other ones, but if I did, you were your mouth would drop because you're like, what? I didn't have to pay a thing for something else that happened. I was like, Lord, I don't have money to pay for that. They need to fix it. And I don't have any money for that. That went through nothing. I didn't have to pay a dime. So God is for us. God is with us. But I was praying. And I was asking, you know, Lord, and I was trusting him. I said, you know, if this is out of my hands, I don't have any way of doing this. God, show me what I can do. Nothing. And I go, but my trust is in you. And he came through. So that's what God wants us to understand. It's not putting our trust in what we can do or the money that we can get, not putting our trust in the things that other people can give us. It's putting our trust in Him. Amen? So would you like prayer? What would you like to say?
Yes, please. I don't even know where to begin. I guess just to be able to strength to do what I need to do. And, you know, wisdom to know what that is.
Okay. Are you spending time in the Word? Are you spending time reading the Word with God, worshiping?
Yes, but not like I should, you know. I don't.
Okay.
I used to have, like, at least an hour every morning, first thing, you know, and
mm-hmm.
I couldn't live without that. And
well,
I don't do that anymore.
Come back.
And I need to.
Just, you know, start a little bit. You know how it is that you don't want to do anything. You know, have you had those days where you don't want to go do anything?
Yeah.
And,
right.
And then you go, well, okay, I'm just going to put one foot in front of the other, right? I'm just going to do it. Just do it. And then before you know it, you get energy to do more. And before you look, you're like, oh, I did so much more than I thought I was going to be able to do. The thing is to just get started and break that spirit of procrastination off.
Yeah, there
because,
you go.
You know, we're procrastinating, or, you know, and sometimes procrastination is we want the whole scenario to look perfect. It's perfectionism. And we're never going to get anything done. Just go ahead and do it. Just, okay, I'm going to go and spend 10 minutes, 15 minutes with the Lord. I'm going to worship. And before you know it, an hour has gone by.
Right.
Just get it done. Just do it. It's like, oh, my kitchen is dirty. What am I going to do? Oh, I'll just clean the sink. I'll clean the sink. Oh, okay, well, I clean the sink. Oh, I have energy. I'll do more. And then, oh, that looks good. And before you know it, it's all done. But
yeah.
We wrap our, you know, ourselves up in our minds, you know, that even before we get anything started, we're already defeated. And so just get something done. Whether you're feeling right or not, make sure you're drinking water, you're taking your vitamins. You're self-caring, and then keep on moving. And there's other ways that you can also, you know, fast. It doesn't necessarily. Some people can fast. Some people shouldn't be fasting because they have conditions that are bad for them. But there's other ways of fasting, from TV and spending that time with God. And fasting is not just eliminating something. It's eliminating that and spending time with God. Otherwise, it's not a true fast for the Lord. Okay? Some people, oh, well, I fasted. Did you spend time with the Lord? No. Oh, well, then that was not fasting. That was a diet. Okay? So let's spend time. Just do it. Okay? Just keep moving.
Yep.
And it'll get done. It's not going to be perfect. You'll get there little by little. And before you know it, you're back on track. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you, Father God, for Sister, for Ms. Sharon. We ask you, Father God, for the strength and wisdom that she's asking for. Father, help her, Father God, and help her to get moving and give her that strength, Father God, and that encouragement that she needs from within, not from the things or people, but from you, Father God. We ask you, Father God, to let that time of fellowship be sweet in Jesus' name. Amen. Anything else, Sharon?
Amen. Oh, no, that's okay. Thank you. I think God knows.
You're
welcome. I appreciate your prayers.
Well, God bless
you.
You have a wonderful week.
You have a good. You too, honey. Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. 404-453, your name and where you're from.
Hi, Carmen. This is Madeline. How are you?
Hello. Okay. I'm just checking, making sure that I see all the numbers because sometimes I can't see them all. Oh, hi. How are you?
I'm fine, Carmen. How are you?
Oh, good, good. Let me put you on mute and now for Madeline. Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Yiravosho kolovo kori dianda lavakai. Sondore di kushi alamaki yiravosho ndolovo kori dianda lavakai. Ravoshinda lamakara vosota lavakara vishinda lamakai. Oh, I sense when there's frustration sometimes, we revert to our childhood and we feel like children, like we're like, oh, I can't do this. And we kind of regress as like children. We regress like children thinking that we can't do it. And so I see you like a young Madeline. And it's almost like you regress in a sense when you're frustrated. And so the Lord says that, you know, he's there for you. He'll get you through whatever situations you're facing. He's there for you. So what I'm seeing, the picture what I'm seeing is, you know, something happens and you revert and you start looking at your young self. And God says, no, that's not the image I want you to see. I want you to see who I made you to be. I made you to be because that's who you are right now. And it's a trick of the enemy too. Sometimes, you know, he's so dirty. He'll use anything to try to, you know, have us revert. It's almost like you're frustrated and you revert to like, oh, I can't do this, you know, like a child, you know. Well, no, you can. You are, and you will continue to do this because he's with you. He's guiding you. And it's not you, all you. It's God through you. So when you feel that way, remember it's the enemy. Put him in his place. Put him in his place. And let him know, no, I know your tricks, enemy. I know that it's you lying to me. And it's almost, you know, like an automatic, you know how you regress. So that's what I see. That's what I'm seeing. Praise the Lord. You're not who you were, and you're not going to be who you were either. And you're not going to be in the same place that you are today. You're going to be bigger and better. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for Madeline. I don't know what that was about, but I'm just speaking what I see. Hey. Hello.
Hey. Yeah.
How are you?
I do. I'm good. Oh, I love that word. The message, it was so on time about the heritage, inheritance. And I was just saying that, God, I want my inheritance. I want my good inheritance that's been stolen, taken, held up, and all of that. And it is, like you said, it's spending time with the Word, because you mentioned about your car, and I had gotten this car, and I realized how much as a child that my life has been controlled and being a lie and this and that. It was just this and that. And so I got this vehicle, and they deceived me. They lied. But the thing about that, during that time, God was giving me my heart's desire, because I walk in faith. I believe him when he says. But because someone else that was an authority hire or an employer, they planted in there, oh, I never get a brand new car. I always get stuff older and this and that. And I experienced that, and I wind up getting something, not to me, my heart desire that God was giving me at the time, but I took the second best, the second seat. And it was such a deception. But to fast forward the story, I cried out to God. I mean, I cried like a child. I cried so hard because of deception. And people are, like you saying earlier in your message, people of the faith are now crossing over to all kinds of worship, all kinds of God, doing anything.
I cried out,
and the Lord had me to call the corporate office, and I said, I'm stuck with a bill. This was not right. And I almost, the transmit, all this stuff. Well, the gentleman said, well, I'm so sorry. He said, but you can go to the dealer and they can make the repairs. I didn't know. He said, you have insurance on it of where it covers the transmission, the engine, everything. He said, nothing out of your pocket. Just go take the car and we'll send the information over. So the supernatural, when we cry out to God as his people, his children, he does answer. And like the other caller is like a child, sometimes we'll won't pick up the word, or we've been through a storm and the trauma or the things of life, and somehow a little nothing will get you distracted. But it is definitely time to know the word, get in it. And the scriptures you read tonight were the scriptures God has given. So I'm in full agreement with this prayer. I'm in full agreement with the message. It was for me of confirmation. And yeah, it is that thing that was coming at me as a child, because no one ever said thank you. No one ever said you're doing a good job. Everything was negative, and things was taken from land, from my dad to my
but it's never too late.
Yeah. And so I'm in agreement.
There is a scripture.
I want
keep talking, and I'll look for that. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And so that was so true, because even being born and how it was, but it's a new beginning. It's on who God is, and get the mind on it, because there is so deception of things out here. And you're so busy trying to please. I was trying to please family, parents. I was trying to please siblings, workers, children, husband, all these things. And God was showing me and giving me what I needed. And today was that day. And I'm doing something now. And it is for me just, yeah, he's with me, and that was confirmation that he's doing, of a celebration that he's calling me to do, and he's telling me what it's really about. But it's time, yeah.
I found this scripture.
Okay.
Even the things that we have lost, right? In Joel 2:25, it says, and I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten, the canker worm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army, which I sent among you. That's God's great army, his angels' army, his angels. But you know what? We got to send them forth in prayer. But if we're not opening our mouth in prayer, we can't get it back.
Amen. Amen. I fully agree. That is confirmation. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Like, God has other ways of blessing us.
Yeah.
Go ahead,
yes. I was just listening. I said, yeah, I've seen it for others, but you don't take it for yourself. So it's like, what are you doing? But tonight's message, oh, my gosh, it is so true, and it's so right. Getting back to your first love, and this is just amazing. I'm just all in for me, Now,
All right.
I want you to pray in getting back the inheritance. We'll pray for my family, immediate family, and grandchildren. That has been stolen, too, of life, deception. And pray for my granddaughters and grandchildren. Yeah, and my children. Yes, we deserve our inheritance, what's been taken, and my husband and my,
Yes, Lord. Father God, we just thank you, Father God, because when things are lost, they're not totally lost, Lord. You say that you will restore these things that have been taken from us, Father God. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I lift up Madeline's family. I ask you to bless her family, her grandchildren, Father God. I pray that you restore relationships. I pray, Father God, that you draw them back, Father God, that the lies that the enemy has lied to them with, that, Father God, that they will realize that it's wrong. Dismantle those thoughts in their thoughts, Father God, in their hearts, Father God. Thoughts of negativity, Father God. I ask you, Father, in the name of Jesus, that to bring unity back into the family, and not only for Sister Madeline, for all those that are listening in, and for those
Lord.
That will listen in later on, Father God, for our PGN family, that you will restore those things
Lord.
That we just read right now, that the canker worm had eaten up that the caterpillar and the parma Lord,
thank
we
you,
pray
Lord.
That you send your armies, Father God, your angel armies to go forth and to bring
thank
that
you,
back
Jesus.
To us, Father God.
Thank
bring
you,
that
Lord.
Little thing back to us. Restore, Father God. And I pray that you
Lord,
give her wisdom,
yes.
Father God, that when these things start happening, that you can give her
Lord.
Wisdom with what to say and how to treat things with
yes,
love
Lord,
and
Jesus.
Gentleness, Father God. I pray,
yes.
Father God, that they will realize that they need each other, that these grandchildren
yes,
need
Lord.
The grandma and the grandma needs the grandchildren.
Yes.
She knows that she needs them.
Yes.
And, Lord, I just pray that you draw them, Father God. These children need the family, the children and the grandchildren, they need the patriarchs in the family, Father God. They don't realize what they need in their parents, Father. But I pray, Father God, that you bring healing in the hearts of the family, of the children, of the grandchildren, that whatever the enemy tried to do to, put his arrows in their heart, Father God, on lies, Father God, we just pray that you bring them back and that you restore and that you bring healing, Father God. We just thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for what you're going to do, for your angels that you're activating right now. They're activating. We declare and decree that your angels are going forth and that they're going to go and touch. I pray that you give them dreams and visions at night, Father God, that they would see themselves, that they would see themselves where they need to be, Father God. Touch their hearts. Deal with their hearts, Father God. Give them tender hearts. Take those stony hearts away, Father God.
Yes,
in
Lord.
Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus',
in
name.
Jesus
touch
name.
Them. Deal with them. Yes, Lord. Bring
yes,
unity
Lord.
With cords
yes,
that
Lord.
Cannot be broken, Father God. That what the enemy
thank
did, Lord,
you.
Let him restore it.
Thank
how many folds? Lord, many folds. How many folds, Lord?
You.
Just give them
thank
as much as they can handle.
Thank
oh,
you.
Father, in the name of Jesus,
name
Lord,
of Jesus.
Just bless them. And we thank you, Father God, because nothing is lost. When we turn to
amen.
You, you restore. You make things
Lord.
Better.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank
you,
Jesus.
Thank you,
Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank
you, Jesus. Thank you,
Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Thank
you,
Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father.
Oh, God.
In the name
thank
of
Jesus. You. Oh, thank
in
you, Lord.
In the name of Jesus.
Thank
amen.
You,
Jesus.
Thank you, Carmen. And God bless Carmen.
You're welcome.
For the
God
labor.
Let me know.
Amen. I sure will. I'm going to text you my number, too. So, I'll definitely
and
let you
and
know.
Those that are listening in, also pray. Continue praying. You know, when as the Holy Spirit gives me things to pray about through the week. Sometimes I'll think about something that somebody said, and I'll start praying about that. So you sisters also do that. If you, the Lord put somebody in your heart to pray about something that they're going through, pray. Pray.
Amen.
You know, it's not just Mr. Carmen or the host. It's all of us. And so the more the better. God, thank you, Lord.
Amen.
All right.
Thank you. God bless
bye-bye.
You. Bye.
Have a great week. Bye-bye. All right. 251-229, your name and where you're from.
There I'm Sister Carmen. How are
you? How are you, Prophetess Carmen?
How are you? Let me put you on mute, and then I'll pray for you. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for Sarah. Sarah, Lord. Oh, Ravashata Lava Kiri, the Andorabo la Bakara was Jandala Makai. Thank you, Jesus, for Sarah. Sarah. You know, I just saw the word prepare. Sometimes we go on a picnic. We have to prepare so that picnic will come out great, right? Otherwise, if we're not prepared, it can be a flop. So I'm seeing the word prepare. And it's not in a bad way. It's just God's way of telling you to prepare. It's almost like I see you preparing, getting things ready for something to happen. So you need to prepare, and the better prepared we are, the easier the transition or whatever it is, or the picnic or whatever it is that we have going on will flow. But if we don't prepare, it could be a flop. So prepare things for what's coming. So we thank you, Lord, for that preparation. I pray that, Father God, you give her the wisdom to know how to prepare, what to do, and whatever situation that it is that you're asking her to prepare. So we thank you, Father, for that preparing time. That's the tongue twister, preparing. And we thank you for that in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Sarah, what are you preparing? Or are you preparing?
Yes, I am. I was really preparing, and I thank the Lord for giving you the using you as a spiritual mouth. I was really preparing, but when we have to first, and I had to stop, and I had to realize, hey, we have to ask the Lord and pray about it first before we prepare to move or before we prepare anything. Just pray about it first. Mm-hmm. So in my mind, I'm preparing to looking at houses and this and that and the other, but I got to prepare into what the Lord is telling me, to do, because I'm preparing for it, because that's my move. Mm-hmm. But is that what God wants me to do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No. And how many people don't do things and then they go, oh, but I didn't ask God. It's too late. You did what you wanted to do. You didn't ask God. So we tend to do that because it's easy, but it would be so much easier when we know what God's will is in the matter, because it'll go so much smoother. When we do what we want, we really are not preparing the right way, and things will get messed up. It won't be pleasant. It's like that picnic that I'm talking to you about. If you're not prepared and you don't have your basket with everything, what you need to drink, what you need to eat, everything, the plates and everything, then that picnic, if it's done right, it's pleasant. If it's not done right, then you're like, oh, this is terrible. Mm-hmm. So I just saw the word prepare. And even the Lord, John the Baptist was saying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. People prepare.
Yes, he was definitely prepare you the way of the Lord. And then you have to prepare
the way
at all costs. The way of the Lord, because I tell you, in this world, we have to be ready for what God has for us and to be prepared And I'm used to doing that. Sometimes I would say, wait a minute, let me stop. I've got to consult with the Lord first, because if I'm sitting and doing my own thing, it is not going to work out. So I was preparing, and I was like, Lord, let me reverse this. So I said, what will you have, what do you want me to do? You know. Mm-hmm. And and then my niece just left. She's back here from New Orleans. Mm-hmm. I'm praying for her. I want to keep her in our prayers as well.
Okay.
And
what's your niece's
she,
name?
What's my niece's name?
Mm-hmm.
Brittany.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
She's just moving back, and so just praying that the Lord keeps her in his will, you know, because she's just getting back, and it's like, and I'm like, oh, do I need to, you know, because sometimes she likes me to babysit and kind of do little different things like that. So, but I'm just praying that since she's back here, that, you know, the Lord answers any of her prayers as well as mine, because I'm preparing to make a move, but I'm just like, okay, wait a minute, you know, I want to make sure the mm-hmm. Lord has this for me before I prepare my own mm-hmm. self and do whatever I need to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we lift up Brittany, Father God. We pray for Sarah's niece, Father God. We just, mm-hmm. Father God, we just pray that your hand be on her, Father God, that you would touch her, that if she's not living the lifestyle that she should be, Father God, we just pray that you pull her in and touch her and help her, Father God, to bring things in your order. Father God, help her, Father God, to guide her and lead her, that she'll see the examples in her aunt and in the other family members on how to walk the walk. Sometimes it's not easy. As a parent, it's not always easy. So we just thank you, Father God, for her life. We thank you, Father God, for your touch in her life. That even though the things of this world may drag her down, but her, Lord, I just ask you that you help her eyes to stay on you. To stay on you, Father mm-hmm. God. To keep her eyes on you. That no matter what this dog-eat-dog world brings, that her eyes are on you, that nothing will bring her down as long as she's looking towards you. So we thank you for Brittany's mm-hmm. life. We thank you, Father God, for leading her and guiding her. We thank you, Father God, for helping Sarah, Father God, with her plans. Father God, whatever it is, her desires, may they be your desires. They be your desires, Father God. Lead her and guide her and confirm to her when it is you that she's on the right track, Father God. Just help her, Father God, that you'll give her confirmation, many confirmations, so that she knows where to go and how to prepare for that. Give her that wisdom in Jesus' name. And we pray for her daughter too, Lord. And we ask you, Father God, that in this preparation, that it will run smoothly so that it won't interrupt with her studies, Father God, that her studies will go well, and that she won't miss a beat because of anything that may be going on at home with preparing or deciding, Father God. We just pray that there will be joy and excitement in the atmosphere of that home, Father God, that there be peace, Father God. A peace that passes all understanding, that even though we don't know, that we have your peace because we know you hold our hands, you guide us, you lead us, and we're not alone. And we praise you, Father. We give you praise, honor, and glory for all of this in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Father.
No.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you. Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Nice. So good. I don't know if you sense that.
Hmm?
like a load off your shoulders, it felt like.
Yeah.
And that's, right? That's how it felt.
That's good.
So thank you, Laura. Anything you want to say?
I felt like a load, too.
Really?
Well, I know Leah, while you were praying about her, she graduates May 5th from the program, and I'm thankful to the Lord for that. Amen. I'm just excited. And as far as the load, I've been trying to, I think the best thing to do is when you feel like, the best thing to do is consult with the Lord. And when you do that, it lifts the load off of your shoulders. And let him lead and guide and direct rather than me do it. And I'm thankful that we prayed about that tonight.
And so you got godly sisters too, right?
My sister Monica.
Family? Yeah. You know, touch bases with them, and you know, they know you best, and they can see things. Sometimes, you know, we have older brothers, and say, the Word of God also says that in the midst of many advisors, there's victory. So sometimes when we talk to other believers about certain things, you know, believers that you can trust in, you know, not everybody, because if they're, you know, they get jealous of you or things like that, no. But, you know, it's always good to bounce off of a godly believer, and sometimes they have wisdom to know exactly what you're living through, you know, that are close to you. So, you know, like I was talking before in our prayer time, you know, one of the things was other believers to lift us up to, you know, where we can bounce off of and sometimes hear ourselves, what's really in our heart. Because sometimes we think we just got to run away from certain things. And, you know, I don't know. I can't tell you how many times I felt that way where I want to do something else because I'm just tired of feeling the way that I felt. And I want something new, something different. And it isn't God always, you know. And so you have to get quiet and listen. And sometimes, you know, talking to a good friend will let you hear yourself. Mm-hmm. They don't have to say anything. Sometimes you can hear yourself. You bounce back. You can hear what's really in your heart. What are your real motives? If this is really God or if this is you, you know, and whatever you're choosing. So
it's amazing that you said that because I have a friend. She lives in Arlington, Texas, and sometimes it's amazing that you said the Lord put that on your heart to tell me because I'll just talk. And then I said, thank you for listening, because it was like I just, it will bounce.
No,
you know,
it helps
I could
you
just
to hear yourself. Yeah. Yeah, people think, you know, just hearing, you know, listening to us helps us to hear ourselves. What am I saying? Well, wait a minute. And then you realize what's coming out of your mouth is what's in your heart. And so you can figure out some things. And it's always good that friends are good, but they have to be godly friends, godly, so that they don't even have to say anything sometimes, you know. It's just be there and listen. I've had good friends like that. And I've been a good friend like that to other people, too, where I'm just listening. And then I'll bounce back and say, well, you said this and this and this. So does that mean this or this? And then they go, oh, that's right. I didn't do a thing. I just repeated what they said.
That's what she would do. She would say, did you know you said that? And I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot because I was talking so much. But then it's good because it's like a review. You know, if they listen and then because she knows I'll talk and go on and on. But then when you listen to what you're saying, it kind of gets your thoughts going and processing what you just said. So that's always good.
That we have. Yeah, or even hurts that we have and we don't really realize it. And then a good friend is seeing it from a different point of view and seeing, you know, you said this. So Is mm-hmm. this bothering you or that or whatever? So that's one of the strategies in prayer. Help from mm-hmm. other believers. And those believers can be friends that help us to hear us and to pray with us about those things. So praise the Lord for godly friends. Lord, bless that friend.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're all, that's what we need. That's what we need, especially in today's world. You need good and godly friends. Amen.
Amen to that. I do believe in that, you know, and that's what I was telling family. You know, we got to get closer because we're living in days that if we don't know how to trust each other, it's going to be hard to trust strangers. So, you know, we got to develop those relationships, you know, not that we put our trust in people. I mean, man, we don't put our trust in man because people fail. But God puts godly people, you know, not everybody, godly people that you could hear. And but God can use a donkey, too, you know, to speak to us. God can use anybody that we look at things, you know. So praise God. Yeah, he can use even unbelievers to slap at you and wake you up and talk to you. And God, it'll be God. They're like, you see, you're not doing what you're supposed to do as they told you. So, you know, thank God I have good friends, you know, that and I don't hear donkeys very much. But, you know, I've seen it happening to people. Yeah, that's a good thing. I've seen it happening to people, and I'm like, oh, it came straight from the doctor's mouth, didn't it? They're like, what? Okay, you're not listening. You don't want to listen to us. You got to hear it from the donkey's mouth. So, you know, God has his way, and even from, you know, like this young man that I was talking to this past week, and he does Bible studies, and he's a young man, and he's gung-ho for the Lord. And he said that he came from a dark past. He was involved in dark things. He was really involved with dark things, like going to the cemetery and, you know, trying to conjure up some spirits, and he got himself in some deep, you know, kimchi there. Well, he had a friend that was a Satanist. And so this young man was talking to him one day, you know, because he would hang around with these people. And he says, the young man was always saying, you know, the things you didn't want to hear. But one day it looked like he was telling him exactly what God was saying, exactly what God was telling him. And then he goes, man, you're right. I should do this. He says, when did I say that? He goes, you just told me right now. He says, I didn't say that. And he realized that God used the young man to tell him. He didn't even remember what he said. He says he just took a moment and told him exactly what the Lord had been telling him. So he and I go, oh, so he used the donkey's mouth, huh? He goes, exactly. So you see, you know, even a God will even use an unbeliever sometimes. So, to you know, but I prefer going to the godly.
Yeah, I do too. I do too. Okay. I mean, and sometimes you may have somebody that may not be, you know, as godly or what have you, and then you get it from the donkey's mouth.
Mhm. Like I told this young man, and he just laughed. He goes, "Yeah, exactly." He goes, "But it was amazing because the young man didn't even know that he had told him that. He told him what God was telling him. So he left all that, and he started serving the Lord. That was it.
That's beautiful. Now that's beautiful. He went from the dark side."
Mm-hmm. And he was a Jehovah's Witness, too. He got into that, too, in his search. And you should hear him talking. He just gets into the scriptures and the gentle giant. He's a good kid. His mom is a good lady, too. God does some strange things, but he gets our attention. So, is there yeah. anything else you would like?
You don't want him. Well, you know, sometimes, like when it says that the Lord is married to the backslider, he gives you another chance to get, he gives you so many, his grace and his mercy
yeah.
avail as much
yep.
because people could be on that dark side and then realize, you know what, this is for the birds. Jesus has so much more overabundance of joy and laughter.
Mm-hmm.
He has so much more to offer than it being in the pit or just being sold out, you know. And for those, I don't
yeah,
know.
But
I guess
we,
for those
but we have to stay
so,
humble in it, too. Yeah, you know, God can give you so
mm-hmm.
many warnings. There's, you know, a limit to that, too. And so God is
mm-hmm.
loving, and he knows how far he can go. We don't. We don't know how far a person can go, but you know what I tell people is I wouldn't use up all my points if I were you. You never know when the end is the end. So you know, some people
you know
can
what?
Be really prideful and they mock God. They mock God and they're using up their time and they don't realize that, you know, you don't, he's a God of love, but he's a consuming fire too. So I mean, not that we are fearful in the bad sense, but in a godly, reverential sense, we do have to respect him and not mock him. You know, and sometimes with our behaviors, people mock them. Like these singers, they're mocking God, doing whatever they want to do, and they think that they're going to, you know, reap what the world's reaping. No, when you're a believer, you can't be on both sides. And we're seeing a lot of that happening. I'm dealing with a longtime friend. Well, we don't normally talk, but he started talking and texting again. And he's an agnostic. To me, that is good as an atheist. And it's hardcore text. I mean, these long texts. And the Lord just, you know, showed me a lot of things that's going on in him, with him. And so I'm just praying. I'm saying, Lord, have mercy. Please have mercy, because if it was me, I would have zapped him a long time ago. But I know you're a God of love, because he's prideful. He's prideful. But, I mean, there's a limit. There is a limit. And so we got to pray for each other.
I believe
we got
to
pray
too.
For those that are not living. Yeah, we do. We do. And that will be a bigger testimony when they come down from and their high horse is like Saul did and get humbled.
Oh yeah.
And then they really know that God is real. That God is real. And it's just really crazy thinking. It's like, I don't know where he's at, you know, in his thinking. It's something different. And it's almost like he wants to disprove all Christianity. And he's got this anger thing there. They come at you with this anger, but, like the word says, we have to be gentle. But there's times when we have to be rough. But that's why we have to be paying attention to the Holy Spirit and his direction on how to handle things. Because I know that a lot of times, you know, I just get, that anger rises up in me. And I'm like, Lord, he doesn't know any better. He doesn't know. If he only knew, he wouldn't be acting this way. But, sometimes, you know, the mama Carmen wants to come in and wants to give a good spanking.
You know, I don't want to get to that point where he says, turns you over to a reprobated mind, you know?
Yes, yes.
You don't want to
and
get to that point.
It almost seems like that. Yeah, it almost seems that way, but not quite. But he's almost there. If he doesn't stop, I'm just praying for him and praying for him and, you know, lift them up in prayer. So,
yeah. Like a lot of the people out in Hollywood, you know, just kind of throwing that idea, you know, just throwing it out there. It seems like in their mind, they think that it's no end. And you just kind of, some of them, you kind of just think, wow, you know, lighting the stage up in red and sitting down and having a meal. And it's like, I don't know what the, you know, the concept is of it all, but like it's no end to it or something. Like it's going to be fun if I go to hell or, you know, and it's going to be just
a
grand old time.
That way. And that God is like one-on-one with you, that you could go tell God, well, you know, and I don't agree with you with this. Well, who are you to say that to God? You think your thoughts are higher than God? I don't think so. That's being proud. You humble yourself before him. Don't mock. Don't mock. This is what I told him, you know, don't go mocking. You're going to, I mean, it hurts because you love these people. You love them, and only in prayer we got to keep praying. We got to keep lifting
them
up, because what if that was us? You know, we want other people to love on them. But there's a point that, like Prophet Randy was talking about, there, you know, get to a point where you have to hand them over. They get so wicked in their ways that you have to hand them over to the Lord so that God can buffet their flesh, you know, so they can get in line. But this gentleman has a lot of pain. So, you know, I'm trying to be patient and loving. And, you know, he knows how I was when we were teenagers. And, you know, he knows that I'm still a loving person and everything. But for some reason, he would just, you know, dump a lot on me. And I was like, I don't know how to process this. I do not know how to process this. So
hey,
pray for me that I get this one.
I'm going to pray for you and pray for me too. Let me throw this at, like, if you go to the Lord and say, well, just, you know, forgive me, then you go do the same sin again and be like, forgive me. Then you turn around and say, I mean, you know, you keep saying it and you're doing the same thing. That's when, do you think he's going to just, I think that's when it's like, okay, dude, is he going to turn me over to a reprobated mind since I'm going over and over the same thing and it's not getting any better? You know, I'm saying, Father, forgive me. I'm, you know, okay, I'm going to go out here and do it again. Like, for instance, just throwing this out there, an example, I go to church, but then Saturday I'm going to the club, then I'm going back to the church, and I'm telling, it's like he's trying to get it right, but he's going around doing the same thing over and over again and thinking the Lord,
you know,
is going to be there every time.
With people like that. But there's people that have these minds that they think that they, yeah, there's some sense in where the person like that may still know that they're doing wrong, and, you know, it's a stronghold and they got to get set free. But with the type of person that I'm talking about, it's like he knows it all and nobody knows nothing, and he's going to prove it to you. He's going to try to tear you apart so that you lose your faith, but he doesn't realize who he's messing with. Is like,
oh,
I
yeah,
know who
I
am. You know, and I just laugh. I'll send him giggling message. I'm ha ha. You know, like he thinks he's genuine. I go, you're so hostile. You're so hostile. But, you know, God is, I know God loves him. God's got to deal with that right there. I don't know. I'm continuing in prayer. I don't know how to handle it. Only through the Holy Spirit. And I just pray because, you know.
I had a friend who was once she would be like going to the club, and then she'll be like, you know, then she'll go and go to the, and then she'll go to service, and it was on and on, you know, it was back and forth, teeter totter. And she said, Sarah, she said, I could feel myself get further. I could feel the further and further away from God. And that's when she said, I had to give up the club scene and everything else because I could feel the presence of the Lord leaving me. And she said, that's something I don't want. Yeah. And so she came on back into the fold. She said, I couldn't. She could, you know how you feel in presence? He's in the atmosphere. His arms are around you. But now, if you keep teeter-totting, you know, in and out, in and out, and then she said, I can actually feel it.
But
she said, I better come on home.
Yeah, that has some strongholds, but this person has never been born again in his life. He's never been born again. And the way that he sees his encounter with God, the way is he's totally deceived. He's not been born again. So it takes a little different strategy in this one. Not like with a believer. You can pray for them and God will deal with them. And she probably had people praying for her. Most likely somebody was praying for her. So, but this one's hard. This one is really hard, I'm telling you. But, yeah, there's a lot of them out there that are needing prayer. So we just got to keep on praying.
Yeah.
God will give us the strategy. And that's part of it. That's part for the kingdom of God. God blesses us, gives us blessings, but we have to go out there and bless others.
That's it.
Prophet. It's not for you just to be born again and keep to yourself. It's for you to open your mouth and let other people know and pray for them. If that's all you can do is just pray for them, and the Holy Spirit will deal with them. He will deal with them. And so, yep. Amen.
Well,
all right, Sarah.
Well, one thing I can say, one thing I do pray for is, and I need to go back to it, Psalms 91. And then also I'll ask the Lord, I'll say, please, may you increase while I decrease. And I want more of you, Jesus, and less of me. And then I would say, and I haven't prayed this one in a while, but more fruits of the Spirit. Because it takes that, you know, long suffering and being able, like you said, you're dealing with someone that's kind of hard to get to. But the Lord has given you that strength, you know, of the fruits of the Spirit to deal with him, because he sounds like maybe the Lord can, you know, the Lord's getting to him, or he may be a tough cookie to crack, you know. The Lord has equipped you with fruits of the Spirit, so you'll know how to kind of come to him.
That's
a blessing. That is a blessing.
Yeah.
From the Lord,
because some days I'm like, Lord, help me. I can only imagine how he's dealing. The Lord is having to deal with his mocking, but that's okay. God is big. God is strong. So anyway, all right, Sarah. Well, my dear, you have a wonderful week.
Okay, thank you so much, and have a blessed week.
All right.
God bless you.
God bless you. I want to move on because I've seen sometimes people are dropping their calls and they come back and they leave. And, you know, I want to make sure I get everybody tonight. 214-415, your name and where you're from.
Hello. 214. Barbara from Texas. Hi.
Hey, Ms. Bob. Hey. Let me mute you and then I'll come back to you. All right. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for Sister Barbara, Father God. You don't wash so tall, my kid, you under a bacara was so terrible, killing me under a makiri, you under a woko, so terrible, corridi under a bacara. Oh, thank you, Lord. You know, thank you, Lord. Iron sharpens iron. And an iron can be used for many things—to press things, to press clothes, right? But iron sharpening iron, you know, that iron metal sharpening another person that's sharp. But then at the same time, it also, you know, an iron, a metal iron, can also take the wrinkles away from clothing. So God is showing you how to strategically use the giftings that he has given you, and with the people around you, whether they're at your level or whether they're people that are not at your level, and how to keep yourself and your garments right before the Lord. And so there's different things that the Lord is showing you that you may have thought that was not purposeful for one thing, but it is purposeful for many things. And so God has given you talent that he can use for many things. He's very versatile in the way that he uses us sometimes. And so I'm seeing you that you're like, wow, I can do this. Wow, I can do that, you know. And it's almost like, you know, how you have a gadget and you realize how this gadget can do multiple things. But it's all in one gadget. And so that's what you're experiencing. And the Lord is showing you that, you know, whether it's with people in your level or below you, well, not below you, but in beginner stages where they're younger, or even in your own life, the same applies. He can use the same things that he's taught you in all those areas. And so it's like one of those gadgets. You know, the things that God puts in us, gives us, it's versatile. So we thank you, Lord, for the things that you're showing Sister Barbara, things that you've already put in her to touch people's lives. And it's not nothing new, but it's the same thing, but in a different form. So we thank you, Father God, for that newness that you keep her in, that she can see things in a new way, that there's different dimensions to what you do in her life, how you use her, how you give her certain things to do in her life and the lives of others. And so we thank you for that in the name of Jesus. Thank you for her life. Amen and amen. All right. Whoa, Sister Barbara, what's up?
Wow. Praise the Lord. Let's see, how do I begin? Well, I did pray for God to enlighten my understanding because it felt like I had to start over in some areas with different people, different ages, making sure that they're on the right track, the right path, not get stuck at the gate. Call it stuck at the gate. And
stuck at the gate.
You know, because like you said, iron sharpens iron. But I, you know, because sometimes things they don't understand and they can mimic, mock, or do whatever. But at the end of the day, I said, Lord, just keep me with that unbending. Just keep me strong in my emotions. Kind of like iron fist in a velvet glove, you know. And I was just like, Lord, keep me strong because I know that man have many competitions and things that I have to walk through and go through. And I was just telling the Lord to keep me in every way. You know, the eyes of your heart, being able to know the hope of your calling and to see in the realm of the spirit, you know, and sometimes the spiritual awakening and understanding the insight once he show you things about certain things and people and what's in their heart. You know, sometimes they're not real. And it's kind of like, how do you say it, more like a scammer? And sometimes you have that in the church, in the religious settings and people doing things that they shouldn't do. And so I was just asking God, how do I word it? What do you want me to say? You know, give me divine direction and understanding because I'm like, I'm here, they're there, and they don't understand what they're doing. They can't see it. So I asked God to correct me. And so I know that was God. So I'm just grateful, you know, because you're helping a lot of people.
I was seeing that gadget.
And these are more like older, seasoned people in the, you know, in the ministry. And I'm like, Lord, how do I tell them? Because petty stuff and foolishness, I don't have time to deal with. I just ignore some people because they don't have the wisdom of Christ and the knowledge in some areas. And, you know, and I ask God to help them, and I have to pray for them. So what I do is I work on Barbara, and I ask God for the eyes of the heart, of his heart, to help me to know, you know, some things in the realm of the spirit because of what you know, what you taught, what you read, what you study. And I'm like, okay, here we go again. And, you know, and the Lord hears everything.
Thing. Yeah. It's the same thing, but God uses it in different ways. You know, and that's what's the amazing part. You're like, it's always been there. And, you know, he helps us to see things in a different perspective, and we realize, oh, it's the same stuff that I've been dealing with before. And so he just gets deeper, and so he uses us no matter for who. I mean, it's versatile. God uses us in different ways. And so I just see it like a kitchen gadget. Oh, I didn't know I could use it this way. I didn't know I could cook this with this way. And I'm like, wow. And I had bought all these other things when I had all just this one thing, and it does the same. So, you know, sometimes we think that we need so much of the things of God that some people feel that they have to be so scholarly in order to meet what God wants them to do. And even with the things that they know, God can still use it. If you let yourself be used, that's all it is. Let yourself be used. And it may not be the way that somebody else does it, but it's God through them. And so that's what matters. If God is in it, it's going to get done. If God is in it, it's going to get done.
That's so beautiful. I love that. Especially when we love people the way we, you know, we love hearts. Sometimes we do want to be that mom and whoop them, but we like, God, you handle this. Just give me a different way how to do it, Lord. So that's what I was praying for, and I was asking the Lord, yes, ma'am, thank you. I was asking him for that. These eyes, I needed the eyes to... You know, I know that the love, the joy, and but we see the manipulation and different things that they do and what they're doing, and I have to shut the eyes and say, help, Lord, I need your help. Give me a different way to do this because I need to talk to them. We need to have a conversation, Lord. So I have been just pondering in my heart, talking to the Lord all day, and I end up reaching one, and you know, and I was talking to the young lady, and that came out to me, and I know we had to get ready for my third oldest grandchild for graduation, and so I think they were getting ready for the prom and stuff, and so as we were, I was just counseling with one and helping another family how we could do this. This is how God would do it. This is the way, and you know, we were just talking. She said, well, you know, I never thought of it that way. And I said, now, what degree are you working on? She said, May the 12th, I'll be getting my bachelor's. I said, okay. I said, I went to school and I did that and done that. I said, but have you ever thought about using it for the Lord, for his kingdom, for his ministry, and all of this? And she said, well, you know, I never thought of it. I said, because you hadn't even paid attention what you want to do with your degree, right? I said, sometimes we just need to have that conversation with the Lord, and we need to talk with him and ask him to lead and guide and direct us, because I meet a lot of educated people, and I'm talking to people that is of great honor, and you know, and they probably think, oh, where did she get that from? She don't know anything. She doesn't say very much. And so I don't like to say too much, but I say it when the Lord tell me to, and that's where I was. That's where I got the word enlightenment, you know, asking God to do that spiritual awakening. And I even asked the Lord, I said, Lord, send fire. Let me feel your presence. Send that fire to me. I don't want to just explain and teach and talk, but I want to feel your presence again. Quicken me, you know, because to me, that's the grace that we ask for. You know, when we ask God, when we say growing grace, Acts 3:18, and there is the different levels of grace, because when you're there, then everything happened very quickly, quick. And that's what I was seeing when I was talking about the piercing eyes and the beautiful marble color that the sister had gave me. Well, when the Lord was giving that to me, I even saw the table. The table looked like the school table. And we were sitting there as I was talking, and the Lord was quickening and giving me some information to give to a young man. And I could see a older person, but I saw the children around the table. And I was like, okay, Lord, what does that mean? Da-da-da-da-da, you know. So I'm just grateful for PGE and how God opened up the understanding, because I don't always say everything. I just do the bits and pieces, because that's the way the Lord give you in parts. So thank you. Thank you.
You know, as you were talking, the Lord gave me something for us to understand that, you know, I watch a lot of animal things, you know, animal videos and things like that, and people, how people cute animals and, you know, how weak they were at one time. And over time of giving them that care and that love, or they misbehaved, they were bad animals and they were aggressive, and because they gave them that love and care, they changed over time. And so I'm not that I'm comparing people to animals, but it's almost like that in a sense. You know, when some people need that attention because they're crippled. Or they need that attention because they got character flaws, like that pit bull that wants to bite everybody. And so the more we love on them and show them that, you know, there's a different way of living, and this way of living is better, it changes them, just like those little animals. It changes them. They get either, some get stronger, some change their characters, and they don't want to bite anymore. And so it's the same with people. The more we give them the love of God, and show them that no matter what they're, we're there loving on them, and that makes the difference. They change. They get nurtured by that, and they get changed. And it's the love of God that changes them, using us, because God has to use somebody to love on them.
Yes, ma'am.
And so. He'll do it sometimes supernaturally, but for the most part, he uses people. And so we have to all learn that, you know, we can get frustrated sometimes with some people and not know how to deal with them. But the longer we stick in there and we make it work, and we just nurture them to health and nurture them to good behaviors, then they can walk on their own, and then they can be let go, and they'll behave the way that they need to behave. They will walk with a good leg and it's not broken. And so you see, then we can go on to the next one. Sometimes we have assignments, you know. So praise God. Praise God.
Amen. You reminded me of when I worked for the Red Cross, and I did it for 13 years, teaching the children how to swim. And I had the hardest case for little babies, children that was scared of the water and would just scream and scream. And I worked with those children, and I didn't, you know, sometimes we can be focused so much on the children that I forgot that people were in the bleachers watching my class. And I did it for so many years that I didn't pay them any attention until people were coming and asking me questions, and I would take the hardest cases and teach those little children to swim within 2 weeks. And they wanted to know the secret. And said that we've been coming for years and years, and how come everybody in your class graduates? Why is it everybody in your class can swim? And so it caused a problem with everybody else. And so I tried to stay clear of certain people because they didn't want people to graduate and to move on. They wanted them to come every summer. But what they didn't realize that after all the classes are finished, then I would have to go and get my best swimmers and teach them how to lap swim because they could swim so fast. And it was a different level. Yes. We had different levels, and then we had different beginners. And then I also worked with infants, like Daddy and Me, Mommy and I, or something, and they teaching the baby, introducing the baby to the water. Dropping them in and take them right out real quick, drop them down and come up. And, you know, and I enjoy that because I had to do a whole nother class at another later time in the evening when it's kind of, the water was pretty warm, not cold, in the morning when we would do the infants and the toddlers, teaching them how to swim as well. But people were wondering how and why. And I said, look at God. Look at God. And I even brought another Christian lady with me on my team. And I, she would watch me and learn. And then as I got so great, good with it, I can't say great, but as I got so much better during the years, then they started giving me the senior citizen people. And sometimes some of the senior citizens were a little fluffy. I'm not going to call them that word, but they were a little fluffy. And they act like, well, I would never, ever be able to swim. I said, yes, you were. I said, do you know you can float better than the little ones? They said, well, how is that possible? Looks like I'm going to go straight to the bottom. I said, no, you're not. I said, you pay attention. You listen to whatever I say. And I said, we'll be going back and forth, and you're going to want to know how do you do that. And you're going to be surprised at what you do. And the senior citizens, they had so much energy level, they just enjoyed it and said, what is your name? Can I come back next year? I said, sure, I'll be here. And I enjoyed it, you know, and as you were talking, I was thinking about how we feed the people of God, how we feed the children, and how they start growing after once the Lord enlightened and opened up their understanding, and more as we grow. And so it was just the amazing parable how people, the little ones that was once scared of water, was not fighting the water anymore. And they would take their little surfboards, and I taught them how to do it, just kick their legs with their little board. I think they call it boogie boards. And we had minute ones, little small ones. And they would just go across the water, and I just did that because, you know, I had nothing else to do but stay in the Word and read the Word. And I enjoyed it because I wanted my children to also learn and enjoy. And they end up being teachers as well, and they could swim like a fish. And pretty soon I had taught them how to do, what do you call it, when you watch every lifeguard. And they were like, you're going to let your little girl do lifeguard? I said, she may be little and small in age, but I said, she swims like a fish. And she can see because she has a mother that prays. And they can see spiritually. And I said, they can detect the long ways. And pretty soon, after almost 13 years, I learned to jump, like dive. Now, yeah. Here it is. I'm the teacher, but I couldn't die. I was scared to dive. And so I had to overcome the fear by just going up there and dive. Yes, fear on top of you. And that's how I started learning to do the torpedo and different dives. And they were like, you know, and I'm like, I don't know how I did it, but the strength, the grace, I overcame fear by just actually get up there and do it and just walk out there. And then pretty soon I got so good. And next thing I know, they started taking the diving boards off. You know, they stopped doing that because people were breaking their necks and having accidents. And I'm like, really? You know, because I had to go to college and do it as well. So. Right. So I was doing it. I took one of the courses also in college. And the college kids were leaving me in the water. They stopped coming to class because I was making an A+. And, you know, and I'm like, don't give up now because you see a little old lady swim across the water. I might not look my age, but, you know, they would. And I would stay there and stay there for 30.
Yeah. But the gist of it is that our walk in love with people will help them to grow, you know, whether it's spiritually and even in the physical things, they'll overcome. And so we have to, you know, but there's times like I was telling Sarah, there's times where, Prophet Randy was saying, you know, that when they're in this gross sin, you know, sometimes we have to hand them over. But for the most part, that's not the case. That's not the case. It's, you know, some people. But for the most part, is we walk in love with them and help them to get to the place where God wants them to be. So
yeah, and that's the end of I had to learn to love at different ages.
Is there anything you want me to pray about? Anything else you want to say?
It was just yes, ma'am. It was just you know, I'm just asking the Lord to continue to enlighten. The eyes of my heart, being able to know, you know, some things, and just the fears realm, you know, to strengthen it, to just keep me alert, you know, spiritual awakening, understanding the insight once he showed me things. Because, you know, I pray for a lot of people, and then I have to turn around and explain it to them. And so I just ask the Lord to,
that's okay.
You know,
that's a part of the
continue.
Walk of love, you know. Yeah, until they,
yeah.
they learn how to walk on their own. And, you know, and as we stay in the Word and we stay in prayer, God continues to, you know, share with his, with us his heart on certain matters.
Yeah.
And so as you do that, you'll be good. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just lift up this prayer. You heard Sister Barbara talking, Father God, that she wants her eyes to be enlightened, the eyes of her heart to be enlightened, and for strength, Father God. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask you to help her, Father God, and as she spends time with you in the Word, that she will see clearly, and that that you will use her mightily to touch the lives of so many people that right now are needing it, Father God. There's so many going astray, so many people getting cold, Father God. And it's not just the new believers that we need to pay attention to. It's also those that have been walking for a while and maybe even years. So, Father, we just ask you also to help her to see, to be on the lookout for what you, to have your eyes to see those that are really in need, even though they have been walking with the Lord for a long time. So we thank you for her life. We thank you for her, her service to you, Lord. And we just ask you to bless her and keep her. And we thank you for that and bless her family also, Father. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Okay.
Thank you.
Barbara.
Have a wonderful
You're
week.
Welcome.
Thank you. God bless you. Thank you.
You too. God bless. All right. There's been a few people that have dropped, and then it changes the order of the list here. But do know that I'll get to all of you. Trust me, I'll get to all of you. All right. The next one is 951-966. Your name and where you're from.
Hi, Sister Carmen. This is Regina from California.
Hey, Regina. All right. Let me put you on mute, and I'll be back. All right. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus, for Regina, Father God. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, I don't know how to say this, but, you know, let me put it this way. You know how when you're in a schoolyard and there's little girls and they're playing hopscotch, you know, double dutch, and they're trying to get in there, and there's this one little girl that wants to get in but can't get in, and, the fear grabs a hold of her that she can't do it, you know, but once she gets in, she makes mistakes a few times, and then finally, what happens? She gets into that double dutch circle, and she's jumping the right way. She made a few mistakes, but before you know it, she was, you know, even better than the rest of the girls. So this is what I'm seeing from the Lord for you, that there's some fears that you think that you can't do it, but the Lord says you can. And even though you make some mistakes, that's okay. That's okay, because you're going to end up doing it. He's going to help you. He's going to show you. And through your mistakes, you're gonna learn to hear the voice of God in a better way, a quicker way, and there's going to be more victories. So don't fear and go and just do it. So we thank you, Father God, for Regina. We thank you for giving her the strength, the courage to do what it is that you're calling her to do. That she should have no fear because you are with her and she can do it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Regina,
Amen.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm doing good. Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear
Hello?
You.
Oh, okay.
Yes, ma'am.
I just said, no, I'm good. If that's confirmation, I do hesitate on stepping out. I do.
Okay.
Yes, yeah.
I saw that. And I was like, what is it with these analogies today, Lord? I guess he knows that I'm going to pick it up real quick. But yeah, that's what I was seeing you. You know how intimidating we can be when we're growing up and learning new things. And we're like, we see how easy it is for other people. But what we don't see is where other people had to learn to do these things. And they may have been in the same position mm-hmm. that you did, you're going through. And so,
right.
You know, not only seeing the good side of things, but if we were to see those, positions when they started, you were like, oh, okay. I'm not the mm-hmm. only one. So take courage and know that, yeah, we fail sometimes here and there, but it that helps us to realize that, you know, okay, so I did that. I won't do that again. I'll do this and I'll do that. And you'll get better and better. And before you know it, you're just as good as everybody else is, or even better.
Yeah.
So is there anything you want prayer for? And I'm sorry I took so long to get to all of you.
Okay.
I had some other callers and they were impatient. And some called back in and then they lost their position. And so that bumped other people out. But is there anything you want prayer for, you want to say tonight?
No, that was good. Thank you.
All right.
I just thank God. Thank God for who he is.
Thank you, Jesus. All right. Anything you want me to pray about? Nothing else? Want to say anything? A testimony? I know you got some testimonies.
Well, I just thank God every day. You know, my dad is still doing really well.
Okay.
You know, he's actually getting up, going out on sitting out on the porch where 2 years ago he couldn't even get up and do that. So that's crazy after that. His appetite is getting better. So he's not, you know, both my parents are 90. So I just praise God for that. And, yeah.
Wow. I want to
see
fit to that.
Yeah.
That's neat. Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
And he's doing better. So, you know, he's willing. He's doing the best he can. Oh, wow. And how's his mental state?
He's good. His mind is good. He's good.
Oh,
yeah.
That's nice.
Both of my parents. My mom is 90, but she still lives. She lives alone.
Wow.
Yeah, she has a helper that comes in Monday through Friday, but otherwise she still makes her own meals and she still lives on her own.
Yeah, I have a friend that's close to the 90s. If not, she's already 90, I think. Oh my goodness, she's got a lot of energy. But I mean, she gets tired, but she lives alone, and she has a lot of friends that come around and talk to her. And oh my goodness, she's a ball of energy. Sometimes, you know, she wears me out.
Mm-hmm. When I go home, when I go visit her in Ohio, which I'm going for Mother's Day.
Oh, yeah, that's coming up, right? Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm going to go
you,
here for Mother's Day.
You do talk about health. Is that what your mother does? Does she keep herself healthy with different things?
My mom, she really doesn't do a lot. What do you mean, as far as taking, like, natural, she doesn't do much. She doesn't do much. She never has. She doesn't. She just always eating healthy, you know, as far as, well, I don't want to say real healthy, but she's always prepared her own meals and you know, eating her own cookie. She just never tries anything different. Just her soul food is what she does. And that's
good
one thing
too.
I do know. Yeah. that's one thing I noticed about both of my parents is that my whole life they never ate out a lot. It was only what they prepared at home. They never.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you
they
go.
They never, you know, went out eating a lot of different stuff, only what they prepared.
And you know
so
what?
I was listening
to somebody about that, and they were saying, you know what? You don't get the good foods out there because they use cheap oil to be able to, you know, serve the masses. And a lot of the things that they serve is cheap. It's cheap, and it's not good food. And when they fry stuff, you know, it's nasty. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. They never liked eating out. Even when we go out, like I go to Ohio, she's already saying, I really want to go to the restaurants for Mother's Day. Let's just cook at home. She's already.
That's not
like,
a bad idea.
I don't want to eat out. She doesn't like to eat out. She hates it. Yeah, I was like, it's
a
waste of money. I don't like the way it tastes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but her even realizing it, she's keeping herself healthy because what they get out there is just bad stuff. I mean, and then the preservatives of the MSG and all that stuff to make the food taste even better, it's damaging for your body. So, I mean.
Yeah, as long as I can remember, either one of them, they don't eat out. They don't eat fast food.
And you know what? People were healthier back when they weren't eating fast food. Now that there's a whole bunch of fast food, everybody's eating out and a lot of people are getting sick. And it's going throughout the world, too. And other people are getting sick, too, from all this junk, all this food, this bad food that they give us.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's one thing
I noticed,
both of them, they don't like.
I worked in restaurants, and I know what's going on in there. And a lot of times, they give you the worst of the worst. At least at home, you get your fresh salad. You get things fresh. You don't know how long it's been sitting in those restaurants or in their warehouses.
That's true.
You know.
That's true.
And the oils, oh, my God. I don't even know what kind of oil they are. They're just nasty. It clogs up everything. So that's a key right there.
Home-cooked meal. Yeah. Yeah. They both, that's one thing I know. Even today, neither one of them like eating out. Was like, oh no. Yeah, I was like, no, I don't want to.
Well,
no.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. That's a key to eating healthy. That's one of the factors. Before people were a lot thinner and they didn't eat out all the time, it was just on special occasion. Now it's almost on a daily basis that you see people eating out. They don't want to cook for themselves.
The lifestyle.
So, because it's easy, they're so tired. And people are working harder now than they ever worked before. At least people before would be able to take vacations. They didn't have all the worries that they have now. They had retirement. Now you don't have retirement. There's just a lot of crazy stuff going on that is hard on a person's body. And so that's the secret to life, enjoying your life. If you don't have the time to enjoy your life, then that job is not for you. That's what I say.
Yeah.
I mean, some people, they just love it. But stress kills. Stress will kill you. I don't care how many vitamins you're taking. If you're stressing out and you're burning the candle on the other end. And so it's a factor of different things. Drinking water, eating well, even the right water, too. There's good waters out there. That make a difference.
That's something I know and my mom does too. She drinks a lot of water.
Oh yeah,
a lot.
Is there any particular one that you eat? Does she use a certain kind?
No, not that. No.
No.
Nope. I just know she drinks a lot of water. Eats her own food. She drinks a lot of water.
Yeah, we should have her get on TGN and tell us how she lives so long.
That's awesome.
That
is
amazing.
Takes like I think she takes a high cholesterol pill or something, pill for cholesterol. That's it.
Oh, and how long has she done that?
She hasn't. I think she's been taking that for a while. But that's the only pill that I know she's on.
And it's made her better? Why is that? As people get older, their cholesterol goes up for some reason. It's like their bodies can't
break down some of the stuff. It could be lack of exercise too, or moving around. As you get older, don't move around as much. I don't know, but I know that's the only thing that she really takes.
I'm curious. You could bring your mom on PGN one night and we can, you know, ask her all these questions. Well, what do you do when you were young?
Jackson.
But, you know, my friends are good.
I can bring her on. She's hard of hearing. Her hearing is impaired now. And she hates wearing a hearing aid.
Yeah.
And I don't like it. I talk to her every day.
Aww. The vitamins, they do make a difference. I have a cousin, and she takes all kinds of different vitamins, right? And she says they do work, because she says they took a picture of her and her girlfriends, you know, that she's had for many years that are around her age, and they all look old. I laugh, you know, she's in her 70s. She goes, they all look older than me. And I look, you know, good for my age. And she says, and I attribute that to the vitamins that I've been taking.
The vitamins?
And yes, the vitamins. She takes all kinds of different vitamins and supplements and
for different things.
The probiotics. Yeah. And so I'm like, so, well, let me know which ones they are. I want to look good too.
Wow.
So, you know.
Yeah, my mom,
she
does tell me she takes that. She takes a Centrium. She does every day. I take my Centrium every day. It got everything in it. So she does take
you know, there's other ones that are plant-based that are better. Because I believe the Century and the, what are the other ones that are, there's different ones that they're synthetic. And then there's a plant-based. The plant-based, some of the companies put probiotics in them so that you can digest them.
Okay. I have to look for it.
Garden of Life is one of them that is very good for, but they're pricey. And they have other ones that are plant-based. And so Alive is also plant-based. I didn't know that there was a difference. And so they were saying that sometimes, you know, people don't realize it, that they're taking all these vitamins and they're not working for them, but it's because they're not getting digested the way they should, and because they're synthetic. They're synthetic vitamins, and they're not coming from plants. I was like, I didn't even know that there was a difference. And even foods that have probiotics, like sauerkraut and pickles, they say that fermenting these things, you know, should be done with salt and water. And that they've tested, and you'll see a testing where the little probiotics are swimming everywhere. And then the one that's used with vinegar to ferment doesn't have anything in it. And so people notice the difference between a pickle that's fermented with salt and water than one that's fermented with vinegar. The one with vinegar does not have probiotics.
I
was like, what? And people will swear by it that it tastes better. You know, like kimchi, that's with salt, and they sprinkle salt in it, and it extracts all that water out of it and makes it, you know, with that pepper and all whatever they use in it. And so that has good probiotics in it. But I didn't know that there was a difference with the pickles. And there's sauerkraut is another one. So if it's with vinegar, I haven't seen any in my city. I don't think they sell it with, you know, the other way. I know that Bubby is a fermented one. It's made with salt and vinegar. Bubby's. That's a pickle.
I have to check it out.
Yeah. So I didn't know that. Anything that I could prove with science, I love. You know, because sometimes we're eating things and we're taking vitamins and we think that it's doing something for us. And, I don't like that because maybe that may, I had a reaction to that, but maybe that one that you had a reaction, maybe that one's the real one. And you're probably taking the one that's really not the real one. A what?
I just said, yeah, that's true. We're thinking the opposite.
Yeah. And, you know, oh, I like this one better. It doesn't make me have, you know, reaction, but maybe you're taking the dud and not the real thing.
Yeah.
You know, unless we find people to prove it, we really have to be careful with some of these things because, you know, even with probiotics, people, oh, well, you know, this one is refrigerated. Oh, no, well, this one is not refrigerated. You don't need to refrigerate it. It's live. It's a live culture. It has a lot of strands in it, and so it needs to be kept alive. So I wonder sometimes with those that are not refrigerated if they're really the real deal. You know?
True.
So
that's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Well, is there anything else? I was hoping the other people will come back on, but they're not on. There's someone, there's some on the line without their hands up. They'll take you if you raise your hand. Otherwise, I will not pick your number. Is there anything else, Regina, you'd like to ask for prayer or you want to say anything about vitamins? I know you know a lot about that.
No, that's really it.
Okay. All right. Well, you have a wonderful week and
thank you.
I hope to see you next week. God bless you.
All right. God bless you.
All right. Goodbye. Goodbye. All right. All right. I am so sorry the other people. Wait. Other people had to wait and they dropped the line. There's still time for those that are on the line to raise their hands. So I guess they're just listening. All right. Well, I'm going to play a song. And then after that, if nobody's on, then I'm going to end the show. Give me one moment.
I'm your garden. I'm no longer my own. I'm your garden. I don't want to waste my life living on the outside. I'm gonna leave from the inside out. Living on the outside, I'm gonna leave from the inside out. I'm no longer my own. I'm your garden.
Upon you and give you peace. Have a wonderful week. God bless. Good night.